Would you please go with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so very much for your mercy. Thank you so very much for your kindness, which endureth forever. Lord, I pray that as we come here together this morning, starting the year 2017, we're off to a new beginning, Lord. And I'm just asking for a new beginning and a fresh start for everybody here. And I pray that with all that's within me and with all that I have, that the name of Jesus might be lifted up, that lives are challenged, minds are changed, and souls are saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. It's great to be here. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, hit a milestone, got my Medicare card, all's good. All is good. God is gracious. God is gracious. Because many of us, myself included, had no idea through all the stupid stuff that we did that we'd be here today. Through all the dangers seen and all the dangers unseen that we'd be here today. So we got to give all praise and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 8. Now, normally I do what they call exegetical preaching, teaching, or whatever, where you take a text and you kind of stay in that one text. But today, just my mindset and what the Lord wants me to do is we're going to talk about the topic as opposed to the particular text. We're going to talk about the topic. And the scripture reads in the King James Bible, verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? I repeat, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? May the Lord add a blessings to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. With that scripture, today I want to talk about the amazing power of preparation. The amazing power of preparation. In this scripture, he's actually using this particular scripture as an illustration as he's talking about the topic of the gift of tongues. But I want to work off of that illustration and take it a little bit further and just deal with the issue of preparation. Preparation. Make ready. Training. Putting in order. Planning. Education. We stand in awe of professional athletes. Like I said, I was talking to my little brother in Ohio, and I told him, come next Sunday, you know how the streets are on Christmas Day, and you could just kind of drive anywhere you want to drive, and there's nobody. Come next Sunday, Dallas, Texas is going to be like Christmas Day. Even the people who don't like the Cowboys are going to be out there watching the Cowboys. Because we stand in awe and fascination of capabilities, of extreme capabilities, people who have these skills, these skill sets. We stand in awe of the athletes, and you say, man, you know, how does Zeke run through 11 guys who are trying to knock his head off? How does that happen? Preparation. We look at doctors and lawyers and great statesmen. And we say, wow, man. And especially when you're younger, you say, man, if I could just be like that. Or we look at wealthy people and we go, wow, man. And you know all the wealthy people that you see out there did not hit the lottery, okay? They worked. They had preparation. When you look at a professional boxer, that's one of my favorites. I know the boxing has kind of come down and people are replacing it with other sports, but I've always been fascinated by boxers. It staggers my mind to think about how you can be standing inches away from somebody. I mean, you're right here, and his sole purpose is to knock you out. And you're right here. And I said to myself, man, just how much skill does this guy have to where they can't lay a glove on him? Or if they do, it's almost never a solid shot. What kind of skill does that take? It takes preparation. He put in some time. And we admire that. But then when it comes to our Christian walk, see, our theme for 2017, comes right from the Bible. Jesus says, the biggest problem with us, Christians, his folks, Jesus said, we do err, or to say we miss the mark, because we don't know the scriptures and we don't know the power of God. You hear that? Out of the mouth of Jesus, Jesus says, we err, we miss the mark because we don't know this book. We got a whole lot of other books. Been to college, been to high school, been to junior high, been to middle school. We've read all kinds of books. We have a lot of books up here. But Jesus didn't say you err because you don't know philosophy. He didn't say that you err because you don't know comparative religions. He didn't say you err because you don't know psychology. He said we miss the mark because we don't know the Holy Scriptures, nor the power of God. I do admire great athletes. I do admire smart people, doctors, lawyers, accountants, just people who can just keep do numbers in their head. I think that's incredible. But I more so admire people who walk a godly life, people who navigate this world, who deal with the same issues, same temptations, same problems, because I got news for you. The Bible says there's nothing that's happening to you. Oh, preacher, you don't know my situation. I don't, but God does. And he's the one who wrote it. He said there's nothing happening to you that is uncommon to men. You guys are familiar with this. There is nothing new under the sun. The names have changed. The locations have changed. But your situation is not new to God. And the answer can be found in knowing the scriptures and the power of God. We all want to be successful. We all want to make a mark. We want to be better husbands, or we should desire to be better husbands, better wives, better kids. That all takes preparation, y'all. That all takes some training, some education, some putting out, some putting into. It takes preparation. It's nothing else that you've accomplished that's been worthwhile didn't take preparation. You may have gotten lucky on one thing. I use the word luck loosely. But guess what? Unless you prepare yourself, it's not going to last. Look at the people who inherit millions of dollars in the lottery. Look at some of the trust fund babies who get money and just go through it like water because they're not prepared to do what they need to do. I want you to know today, I want you to know that God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be successful. Here's what the word successful means in Scripture. It means to be circumspect and to be intelligent. To be circumspect and intelligent. Pastor, what's that word circumspect mean? That's an old English word. That word means to be watchful, to be discreet, to be cautious, and to be prudent. Well, I thought success was making a pile of money and having a bigger house and a bigger car. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a pile of money. Nothing wrong with a bigger house, bigger car. But according to the Word of God, that's not successful. Successful is to be circumspect and intelligent. There's a lot of successful people who don't have a pile of money, y'all. But you know what they do have? When they're successful according to the Word of God, they have a pile of peace. They got some joy. They got some happiness. And I want you to know that's God's desire for you. He has made that very, very plain. But he says, you got to have, we have to have some preparation. Success. I want you to think about it like this. Success resides or dwells at. Success resides at the intersection of preparation and opportunity. Success resides at the intersection of preparation and opportunity. If you aren't prepared when opportunity shows up, you will not, you cannot be successful. But you have to prepare yourself and you have to let God do the preparation. And the first thing I want to let you know is that a lot of us men, we like to fly by the seat of our pants. That's what I call it. We like to say, your wife says, well, what's your plan? I got this. Well, how are we going to do that? I got this. Don't worry about it. I got this. Got it under control. Well, can you let me in on the secret? I got this, baby. I got this. Now, sirs, and anybody else who adheres to that, I ask you, would that work for you when you go for surgery and you're on the receiving end of the scalpel and you know, you're still conscious lots of times and the nurse says, what would you like? And he says, give me a minute. Doctor says, give me a scalpel. No, give me a hammer. No, give me a screwdriver. And she says, doctor, you okay? He says, I got this. You want him to have a plan. You want him to be prepared. In fact, you demand before you go in for surgery, you do all this research, you go through all this and you go through all that, and you do all this research to see if this person has, where did he go to school at? How many times has he done this surgery? And you know you don't want to be the first one or that he does this particular surgery on. You've already researched that, and you want him to be prepared. So why is it? Why can God not count on you and me to be prepared? Because this is a spiritual battle. The scripture says, how will a man prepare himself for battle if he's not prepared? How are you going to get through the battle? And understand, this life is a spiritual battle. Unfortunately, many of us don't even realize we're in a spiritual battle. Let's talk about preparation. I told you, God wants you to be prepared. So to that end, God wants you to know the scriptures and the power of God. Now, if you don't have a plan, let me give you step one in the plan. Step one in the plan. There's a very good illustration of a man in the Bible who did not know where he was going. He did not know where he was going. His name was Abram at the time. And the Bible says that God called Abram out of the land of the Chaldees. He called him out of the land of Ur. And we're talking about God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I want, because there is a specific person we call God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Bible says that God called Abram, and he said, Abram, follow me. And the Bible says Abram did not know where God wanted to take him. If that's the situation, I'm okay with that. But here's your preparation. Make sure you're following God. Because if you're following God, you can't go wrong. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God said, trust me, Abram, and I'll take you to a place where you need to be. Let's talk about preparation being fundamental. Preparation is absolutely, positively fundamental. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 27. Proverbs, and there's few Bibles for you if you don't have one. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 27. God sets the example for preparation for all of us. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 27, and it reads, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, and when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep. We're going to stop right there. We'll stop right there. The Bible says, now we take this for granted. We don't even bother to think these things through. We take this for granted, church. And this is how come the world can pull the okey-doke on you. This is how come the world can trick you into going down the world's path of thinking. If you'll stop for a minute, and I'm just going to just spend just a brief moment on the teaching of evolution, where they tell you that everything came from this primordial ooze, and it worked its way up, and now everything that you see has come and evolved to where we're at today. I just want you to stop for a minute. Just stop. And God says he prepared this, y'all. This is what he said. And I want you to reason with your own mind. Just reason for a moment. If everybody and everything evolved from this soup, how did it just happen to have food when we got here? How did it just happen to have water when we got here? How did it just happen to have trees and things that you could make shelter out of when people appeared on the earth? People just, oh, well, Pastor, that's no, that's very important. That's very important because God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so it's very important that you understand that, because if you start calling God a liar from the very first chapter, you're going to have a difficult time with him for every chapter thereafter. So if you start with what God says about the Bible, he says, I created and I spoke into existence. I prepared you a place. And I want you to know, when we get to the end of this conversation, y'all already know and you believe. Let me get a show of hands. How many folks in here believe that Jesus has gone to heaven to prepare a place for you? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Amen. 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 Without a shadow of doubt? No doubt? Amen? So why is it when we get to Genesis chapter 1 and God says, I prepared a place for you called earth, heaven and earth, and I did it in 6 days. Why does the doubt creep in? Because we don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. See, because if you know that God could do that in 6 days, then you know that when you die, you know without a shadow of a doubt, absent from the body, bam, present with the Lord. And when you know that, we can be the soldiers. He said, prepare yourself for battle. We can be the soldiers and the successful people that God has called us to be. But we got to understand him and trust him without doubt. When you see it, you read it, and God says it without doubt, That's the truth. So preparation is not a new idea. Preparation is God's idea. It's what he did in the very beginning. He prepared a place for all of us. He brought us through generation after generation after generation. And now we're here in 2017, praise God. And he said, now, I want you to know. I want you to know there's a battle going on. And it's a spiritual battle. You think it's flesh and blood. You think that it's all about what you see on the news and what you read in the articles. And God is saying, no, no, there's the unseen. There is the spiritual battle that you're kind of letting go off to the side. And we as Christians, we get sideways with stuff. I was reading in a very fundamental commentary, Brown, Jameson, and I can't remember the name. And it's a very fundamental commentary. And I was reading, I wanted to see what they had to say about creation. Excuse me. In this book, this commentary was written in about 1848. So it's an old commentary. And I saw something that I think the church needs to know. When the man was talking about creation, and he was a European man. And praise God, what he said was, he said, every evidence of the Bible says that we are all from one blood. That's what the Bible says, y'all. It says it in Genesis. It says it in the book of Acts. It says we are all of one blood. And not only does it say we're all of one blood, it said that God determined our habitation. Guess what? You didn't happen to end up here because you, something that you did or something you thought. That God said, I determined your habitation. And in this book, this Bible commentary, this European Anglo-Saxon commentary, he said, there's much dispute among theologians, Bible people who study the Bible, as to the validity. They're thinking that maybe that couldn't be. And it's right there. He says, because of the inferiority of the other races. He said, and because of the mental, inferiority of the other races. He says, in particular, the Aborigines, the Negroid, the Indians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says, so there's some dispute among theologians as to whether or not we're all one blood. And I said, man, look at this. If you want to know why America is jacked up, we have hope. I have great hope. I'm the eternal optimist. But if you want to know why we got such great racial issues in this country, and we do, is because the people who name the name of Christ don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. Now, to Brother Jameson's credit, he said, for those who think that there was another creation somewhere for those inferior races, he said, there's no substantiation in scripture for that kind of understanding. He says it's not there. Now, don't forget, this is in the midst of racial divide, slavery, everything else. And he says there's no justification in the scriptures for a statement like that. Now, let's bring it home. Let's bring it home to 2017. So if the Europeans back then thought that there was a spiritual something that was an issue with the Aborigines, Negroes, whatever. How is it that I can come in to talk with some of my brothers and I say to them, hey, y'all, we're all one blood. We all serve the same God. And God determined our habitation. No. Whoa. Wait a minute. It's right there in the scriptures. You see, because of sin nature then with those folks and sin nature now with many of us who adopt the same attitude just in reverse. Doesn't make it, it wasn't good then. It's not good and it's not right now. So I just have to thank God for Brother Jameson And because we have to work through these things, y'all. I talk about these things because we got to work through them. I know the Geico commercial says, how long you been under that rock? I ain't been under the rock. I'm out here looking at what's going on. And I'm with Brother Jameson when he says, there's no biblical justification. None. We are all of one blood. One blood. And now we start with that as our premise, and we work our way out from there, brothers and sisters. Because otherwise, when I ask you, do you believe Jesus has gone out to prepare a place for you and he's going to come back? I have to cast doubt on that too. Because if you doubt him over here, you got to doubt him over there. Amen. Does that make sense, y'all? That's a hard thing to take, but that's how I understand the scriptures. And so we have to see that the Bible says preparation. God has prepared a place for us, and God prepared all of this so that we could come here and do battle. We have, as Christians, a calling to be salt and light to the whole world. Not just our own community, to the whole world. And that comes because the Bible says, God says, I've called you, and now I'm going to prepare you. And so if I'm going to prepare you, I got to prepare you with the gospel of truth. You need to know the scriptures and the power of God. Whatever the situation is, no matter how bad you've been treated, no matter how bad I've been treated, whatever the situation is, we have to trust and believe and give God the authority. Let him know that I know you can, God. I know you can. I know you can. Preparation not only is fundamental, preparation is security. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah 4:18. There is security in preparation. Jeremiah 4:18 says, for the builders, Jeremiah, they're building a wall. They're building a wall that nobody else could get done in the time frame that they got done, because the Bible says they have a mind to work. Y'all, we have what we consider insurmountable situations in our life. We have insurmountable situations in our nation. We have what we consider insurmountable things all day, every day. But Nehemiah looked at the wall that needed to be built, and he said he's going to do it in 52 days. And he said, the people got the job done. Other people couldn't get it done in 150 years. He said, but the people got it done. Why? Because they had a mind to work. Now here at verse 18, here's how he did it. Chapter 4, verse 18. He said, for the builders, the people who decided to go to work, the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Nehemiah says this, y'all. He says, I got all these people out here working, and they're all working in the name of the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, but you know, we got enemies. And in fact, I remember my professor stressing this. He said, always remember, you have enemies in the camp and outside of the camp. You hear that, church? You have people in the camp who don't want to do what God wants them to do, and you have folks outside of the camp who don't want to do what God wants them to do. But what you and I have to do, he says, gird yourself up. Get that sword of the Lord. Get that word in your heart. Prepare your heart to do battle. And he says, the illustration, get the picture of it. Get the picture. They're working on this wall. And they're standing there. Everybody's got his hand on his sword and a brick, putting one on the wall. Because you got to be ready to fight in this world, y'all. You got to be ready to fight. I'm telling you to fight and stand for Jesus. Because he says, if you're being persecuted, make sure you're being persecuted for unrighteousness. Not for being an evildoer, not for being a troublemaker, but you're being persecuted for standing up for Jesus. Jesus, You and I have been called to be the representatives of Jesus. And sometimes when you're with your own family, it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult. When you take a stand for righteousness, but don't worry, Nehemiah said, just keep your hand on your sword. That's the sword of the Lord. That's the sword of the Lord. And understand that there is security in preparation. Before you start talking to folks about the Bible, learn the scriptures. Learn the scriptures. The first verse that every unbeliever learns, judge not. How are you going to know if anything's right or wrong if you don't judge? Wait a minute. Think this through. The Bible says you and I, those of us who name the name of Christ, he says you have the mind of Christ. So since you have the mind of Christ, isn't Christ the righteous judge? But he judges only according to his word. So when you and I have to make a judgment, you don't use your opinion. I don't use my opinion. We judge according to the word of God. Because that way, when we're doing a spiritual battle, we can stand. We can stand, church. We can stand. There's security in preparation. There's hope in preparation. There's hope in preparation. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 2. John chapter 14, verse 2. I already questioned you about this scripture. And it says in the King James Bible, I'm going to start with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And watch this word. I go to prepare a place for you personally. God wants you to be successful, and he's doing all the preparation that's required for you and I to be successful. But he's saying you and I have got to set aside some time to learn the scriptures and to believe and receive the power of God. I can't do shouldn't be part of your vocabulary unless you follow it with, but God can. There's a whole lot of things I can't do, but God can. I can't keep my family together, but God can. I can't heal my body, but God can. But if I don't know the scriptures and the power of God, I throw my hands up in despair. But I'm so blessed to have personally been part of God's amazing healing powers. I am so blessed to personally have been around people who have, the doctors have given up on them. Everybody's given up on them. They unplugged the machine on them to save electricity. And you know what? God brought them through. Because he has prepared for you and I to do battle here. And he's not going to take you anywhere until he's ready to take you. He determines the coming in, and he determines the going out. There is hope in preparation. I'm trusting that my Savior is going to keep his word. He said, I'm gone to prepare this place just for you. And so when the things get difficult here, when times get tough, I know with everything that's within me, God has got a place for me. If I'm so broken and so in such despair down here, and things just seem like they just can't go right, understand. God has, Jesus says, I have prepared a place for you so that you can come and be with me eternally. He says, all this trouble is temporary, y'all. It's temporary, church. It's temporary. But we as Christians, we're subject to depression. We're subject to heartache. We're subject to heartbreak. But you have to know that God did preparation on our behalf. And you have to know that we need to spend some time in 2017. We need to dedicate some time to knowing the scriptures and the power of God. There's salvation in preparation. How do I know there's salvation in preparation? We talked about preparation is fundamental. There's security in preparation. There's hope in preparation. There is salvation in preparation. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Salvation. What's salvation? Salvation is that hope of glory that's in us. It reads in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou, what? Prepared for me. All this has been worked out, church. All this has been set up and set out. God has done this thing. And he says, and Jesus says, before the earth was formed, the Father prepared a body for him. And what's that body? That's our salvation, y'all. Where do we get our salvation? Our salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He says, thou hast prepared a body for me. So when we look at Calvary, when we look at Calvary and we see the brutality of Calvary, we see how Jesus was taken from judgment hall to judgment hall to judgment hall, and how they say they plucked his beard, and how they say they beat him beyond recognition. When we see that, and that, you want to know why his disciples ran, church? When the disciples saw him be brutalized and crucified, they took off running. Just like when we run into hard times here, things get difficult. And one of the first things people do is leave church. Because somebody said something wrong, somebody did them wrong, they leave church. So look what the disciples did. When they saw Jesus up there on the cross, and they said, all hope is gone. And they left him. But I want you to know, he says in Hebrews, God had already prepared that body for him. That body, if you will, was a disposable body. It was a real body. It felt pain body. But the Bible says he had already prepared himself to be a sacrifice for you and for me. Church, when you understand the Bible, when you know the scriptures and the power of God, you understand that when you see the most depressing, the most hopeless situations. We got marriages in shambles. We got kids losing their minds. We got bosses who just, they live to torment you when you walk in the door. They live for that. Our kids are going to school and they have other kids picking on them. They have teachers who don't like them. And God says, but if you start off and trust me and understand, I've made a way for you to get through this. What's that way? He says, first thing you do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And God says, all these things I'm talking about, preparation, all these things I'm talking about, hope, all these things I'm talking about, salvation, all these things I'm talking about, joy, all these things, that preparation, that's yours.
That's yours, church. Because God wants you to be successful in what he refers to as successful. There's hope in the preparation of that body that Jesus said God prepared that body for him. That body that would be the final sacrifice for you, for me, and for all mankind. Not just for the Jews, not just for the white folks, not just for the black folks, not just for the Asians, not for the American Indians, not for the people in Tanzania, not for the people in Kenya, not for the people in Ghana, but for everybody. And if we can't preach, if you can't preach it to everybody, if you can't preach the same gospel message to everybody, then don't preach it to anybody. Because it's the power of God. It's the scriptures, and it's the power of God. Whether anybody agrees with it or not has nothing to do with nothing. It's the gospel that will save, that is unto salvation. It's believing on the name of Jesus Christ. It's believing on the death, burial, and resurrection of a Jew. He came as a Jew. He lived as a Jew. When he rose from the dead, he was in the Jewish culture. And that's why God says, he doesn't say the Jews are any better. Jews aren't any better than any other culture. God said, they're not better, but they're my chosen. And then God says, if you'll bless them, I'll bless you. It's not deep. He made that preparation, and he made that preparation for whosoever will. Last thing, preparation is fundamental. There's security in preparation. There's hope in preparation. There's salvation in preparation. Church, turn your Bibles to Revelation 21:2. Revelation 21:2. And let us allow our minds and our hearts to go where we seldom tread. We like to stay down here in the muck and mire of the world. We like to, you know, and our feet are firmly rooted on dirt, but he says, set your minds on things up high. There's glorification in preparation. Revelation 21, 2. I'm going to start with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Church, there's glorification in preparation. Allow your minds for just a few moments to not get bogged down in the muck and mire of everyday life. Understand what the Apostle John saw on the island of Patmos was a vision of things to come. Understand that all the stuff we fuss about, all the stuff we fight about, all the stuff we stress over, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He said, because the first heaven, that's where we're at right now, the first heaven and the first earth passed away. It's gone. It's only temporary. And that's why you and I have to get our minds and our hearts prepared to serve our Savior, Jesus Christ, because only that which you do for Christ in the name of Jesus is going to last. Nothing else. You can get yourself elected to the highest political office in the world. You can become the richest man in the world. You can be all these things. But if you don't do it for Jesus Christ, it's nothing. And I'll think, just say, Lord, let me not lose my mind with the things that are going on. And so what I want you to do, church, is I want you to just, we have so many reality shows that we don't ever deal with the reality of life. We have reality shows that are about the most unreal things in the world.
Oh, my goodness, Bob, what should I do? Oh, I don't know, Susie. Let us go out in the backyard. Okay.
No. What's real is in this book. What's real is in this, what's going to be eternal is in this book. And I want you to think about, there's going to be a day, just like how John says. John says, I looked up and I saw it. I saw the glory of God coming down. And guess what? Those of us who have passed will be coming down with it. And those who remain, which will be those who will be saved during the great tribulation period, you talk about a joy. You talk about weeping may endure for the night, but joy. When you can take your minds off of the troubles of today, and when you can see the glory of God coming down for you, when you look at those old videos of Vietnam soldiers, especially, they have them now for the Iraq soldiers, but I've seen a lot of the Vietnam soldiers, and where they would be wounded, and the medic is standing there with them, and the chopper is coming in to get them. And all of a sudden, their spirits get lifted because they're wounded, they've been hurt, they don't think there's any way out, they don't think there's any hope of survival. But when they look up and they see that chopper coming down, they know they have hope. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you today, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the family problems, in the midst of the political problems, in the midst of everything else, could you look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And the Bible says, if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins, he said, I've made a preparation for you. I've saved you a spot. I've got a home waiting on you, and you shall be saved. Church, take heart. 2017, spend some time learning the scriptures. Take them into your heart. Put shoe leather to them. It's not flashy. It's not bombs and bells and whistles. It's work. Being a Christian is not for the faint of heart. It's work. Loving people that don't love you, it's work. Treating people right who mistreat you, it's work. But God has made a preparation so that you and I can do that. And when we do, he will be glorified. And that's what his plan has always been, for you and I to be glorified, for you and I to be successful, and for him to be glorified. I thank you. I appreciate your time. Don't ever downplay the amazing power of preparation. Thank you.